Hi guys, this is Alvin. Welcome back to Are You Okay Podcast, a podcast where we use our voices and hopefully inspire you to use yours too. Today we have two very special guests, the ultimate duo, influencers, entrepreneurs, fitness enthusiasts, and let's welcome Jane Chuck and Humpin.
Hello.
Hello.
Yay, I have to clap myself because there's no other people here. Okay, so welcome. How are you guys doing today?
Good.
You look like very sleepy.
I'm always sleepy.
Oh, same like me.
That's a look that I have.
You know, every time when I go to events, right, people keep asking me like, why do you look so tired all the time? So this is just how I look.
Yes, it's a vibe.
It's a vibe. They don't understand, right?
I get the same question every single
time. All the time?
Yeah.
But because like you are so into like fitness and stuff,
but this is a signature face.
Signature face?
Yeah, nobody can copy on.
So even when coaching, so you have this like straight face?
Yeah, kind of.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't believe you.
Really?
Then how are you supposed to like hype the classes when you're like...
No, like, he's not like sleepy. He's very angry.
Very angry, yeah.
Yeah, when I'm doing a class, I'm always like very into it, like super angry. But it's all
aggressive.
Depends on...
I wouldn't say angry, aggressive. If I
have... Have you tried spinning though?
I tried like once many years ago, but I was damn scared because like all the other members are like very, very like OG, right? So yeah. They can do all the, every time when they try, ask them to turn the, what's that called?
Resistance.
They will turn one, you know. Then when I try turn, I cannot spin. I'm like,
yeah.
I have no strength. How long does it take for like a newbie like me to be able to catch
maybe
up?
Maybe 4 to 5 classes about that.
I think it depends on very personal, this one.
Yeah, maybe you are like very, very smart.
I'm not smart. My body is not smart. I hear smart.
That's why you need to get used to the
momentum.
Have
you tried these classes?
Yeah, of course. I go all the time.
Like,
I've been spinning like for so long, but I'm still not like the OG, even though I'm really considered the...
Does your classes also involve like lifting weights one?
Yeah.
Like, you know,
Only one song. Yeah.
Because I think arm song. The one that I went to is like, I need to like... get up from the bike and then like do like
battle races similar,
and then like it's not just one song, you know, like I think 2 or 3.
That's like the resting
part.
That's your recovery basically.
Okay. Yeah. Recovery for the legs, then you need to work your upper.
Yeah.
So do you like
you pay for the class, right? You only got 45 minutes. That's why after your when your legs are resting and you gotta use your arm.
So talking about being an influencer in the industry for so long, because like I mentioned earlier, you started since you were 14, blogging first.
Yeah.
So until now, we have like a lot more influencers in the industry. Do you see like the differences between back then and now?
Yeah.
Like what differences?
I think it's harder to stand out now.
Stand out, yeah. Because everybody's doing the same thing.
Yeah, because the algorithm is the same. Like, today, if you're dancing this song, everyone's going to dance the same song.
Mm.
And it's not wrong because, like, the algorithm is playing the same thing.
Mm.
And then it's really hard to stand out unless you're the kind, like, more like a comedian or you...
Would you say, like, nowadays... I mean, not nowadays. Our industry influencers in Malaysia don't have a strong identity.
Not really. There is a few...
A few strong ones.
Strong ones.
But I know about you. I know about Jane Chia. So these are the people that I look up to. Like, I know what you guys are influencing. Like, for you, definitely is your... You also have your own brands. Like, you know, beauty and coffees. And also, like, fashion. So these are the thing that... It shaped your identity.
Yeah.
Because you are an expertise, like, in terms of this kind of brands category. Like, most of the influencers in the industry don't have that credibility. Like, strong ones.
Yeah.
Because for me, like, you know, if you look at the influencers in the United States, those who do fashion is only fashion.
Yeah.
The most is plus beauty. And that's it. But here... Like, especially the newer gen, I feel like they are everywhere.
They need to do everything, right?
I mean, there's good and bad. Like, I'm not saying, like, any type is good or bad. I'm just analyzing, like, you know, when you are influencing about
many brands. I think it's more like the identity crisis that
Like I mentioned earlier, right? Like we don't.
Because I think back then, because I did a lot of blogging, and then people kind of know me through my blogging days, and then slowly they shift into. I don't think I have a lot of new followings, because I think my audience is probably like 25 and above.
25 and above.
Yeah, so it's a similar. I'm at 31 now, so it's like similar age gap. Like it's not like the younger ones, and. I think the younger ones probably might struggle because you really need to know how to dance. Really need to
do,
you know,
TikTok cringe dance and
TikTok everything. And it's so hard. If I were to start now, it's so hard to find the niche.
And if you try now, right, probably your existing audience would feel like, what is she doing? Like she never done this kind of thing.
For me,
before.
Back then, it wasn't a job. Like influencer or blogging, it wasn't a job. It's just like
hobby.
A hobby and then
When
I think back then when people start pitching to clients about bloggers, client would think a bit, it's like what is this?
What is blogging?
Yeah, you know. But now it's like people want to become an influencer because of the money.
The money and the fame and the events.
Mostly
that you get
I mean like money and fame, but then like they know like being an influencer makes money.
Yeah.
You know? But when you are becoming an influencer just for money. That is very hard to
sustain,
and then you very hard to get like the right audience because the audience already know you're in it for the money. You know,
so the motive, like your goal, has to be very clear. Like you want to become
an
influencer.
Are you influencing? Yeah,
are you really like have the knowledge to influence people?
I don't
think
it's like knowledge. It's just that how genuine are you? You know.
Like, how genuine are you?
Yeah.
Like, how much do you believe in the product enough to let people know it's good?
Like,
would that make sense?
Somehow, yes. But also, like, I don't know what's the backstory about you. Because, like, let's say today you want to be a food blogger, you'll be posting about food stuff, right?
A lot.
But I don't know who are you besides a food blogger. Do you go watch movies? Do you also like other things? You know, I don't know about you besides you being a food blogger. Because there's a lot of food bloggers out there, and I don't know, like, how can I differentiate you and other food bloggers?
Yeah.
Do you hit, like, 100 restaurants in a day or something like that?
Like, how often do you go to review?
And are you the person that you travel around the world, that's why you have, like, different taste buds, that's why your review is extra different, you know?
Yeah, different than other people.
Because I cannot compare you and someone who only eat, like, this certain type of food and tell me, like, all these flavors. You know, it's very different. So you need to have like a back
story.
Not to say, it's just an identity, like, you know, like for people to actually know, okay, this person is actually someone that I look up to. And sometimes I don't mind being influenced.
But how do you guys like suggest, like if let's say there's someone out there wanted to become an influencer, like how do they build up the identity? Like, do they have to post, for example, like if let's say they want to become a food influencer, do they also in between have to like show some parts of their personal life? For example, like do they work out before they eat or after they eat and stuff like that? Or just like purely the social media is only about food?
It depends. Like you say, let's say you only like specialize in KL of Malaysia, then you just go for the whole KL Malaysia thing. And then maybe I'm not a food blogger, so I don't think
okay,
I'm
what
the best
about
person
beauty,
to ask.
What about beauty?
Right?
Beauty
I only know how to eat.
Beauty and fashion. Like if they want to become like a beauty and fashion influencer. So like if they want to start, like how would you suggest? Like do they have to try most of the beauty product first? Or like try styling themselves, like taking OOTD pictures? Or like film some Get Ready With Me videos by themselves first?
Now, this is like a bare minimum.
Bare minimum.
If you want to become like an influencer, you really have to do a lot of content. This is how people get to know about you. And then like I think now the trend is like when you do like a Get Ready With Me, you don't talk about the products only, you talk about yourself. This is where your audience kind of know you.
So
instead of like, oh, today I'm going to
What event?
And then that's it. So I'm doing this makeup.
Mm.
Maybe you can talk about like, today I'm going to this event and I'm expecting to see who and I can't wait to, you know, blah, 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 all these things that add into this whole conversation.
Yeah, your
so people
feelings
get,
about
get,
the event,
yeah,
excitement.
The excitement and more identity when it comes to like doing Get Ready With Me instead of like, okay, now I'm using a pink blusher.
I'm using this color.
And
this
color. And this code. Because all this brand. Like, it's very normal. Like, people can't tell what is, who are you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't remember.
So add some colors to your content.
Yeah.
Add your personal more touch.
Personal identity into your, whatever that you're doing.
Okay. So what about you, Hanbin? You, because you used to have a corporate job.
He still has that.
He still has.
He still has a corporate.
So I'm juggling a lot of stuff.
So today no need to work.
For you, no need lah.
Wow. So like, how do you like balance? Like, for example, like nowadays you also start going to events, and then you have also have your own brand, brands to juggle. You co-founded.
So I split them up. For example, like Monday, because Friends is in PJ, ma. Because my main office is in Cyberjaya, the Shell one. So on Monday, I'll usually go in for go
to the office.
Yeah, to the office. And Tuesday, then I'll go back to Cyberjaya. But I will every day I'll go to Powerhouse one because I need to exercise.
So where is Powerhouse?
Powerhouse is in Hatamas. Yeah.
Okay.
So I plan them up, lor. So I just like split them up.
But you don't mind like being stuck in the traffic?
I don't mind lah. Okay, one.
You love driving.
No, actually, like to Cyberjaya, it's not that far. It's only 30 minutes away.
Yeah.
It's only 30 minutes away.
Yeah.
So we touch about like you know being an influencer, how to find your identity, and also the influencers back then versus now, and now we want to go into entrepreneurship because you both own your own brands, not just one, like quite a few lah. We talk about Powerhouse.
Yeah.
Talk about Goat.
Goat.
Anything else you want to add?
The petrol station or Shell? Because I also run the petrol station.
Okay. So like why don't you tell us about the Goat brand? I think it's very interesting because there's not much of men grooming products.
Yeah. So I feel like the men start living in Malaysia, right? Their education is super minimal. I mean, like, the men in Malaysia, they don't really know how to take care of themselves. Okay, I mean, like, we are taking care of ourselves because, I mean, like, you know, we are both influencers, we need to look good.
Yeah.
But for an ordinary man, like those who play badminton, they still wear their pyjamas to play badminton sometimes. Right?
I was one of them.
So
I'm just fine. It's okay.
No, it's okay. Like, do you. I mean, like, you look at the men, right? They don't even wear proper active wear. Okay. Do they even use, like, a proper skincare? Like, I mean, like, do they even take care of themselves? All they do is, like, talking about the girls. Okay. I want to chase this girl. I'm going to get her. But have you been taking care of yourself before you approaching are qualified them. Enough to get someone?
Yeah.
Right? So, if you don't even know how to take care of yourself, how are you supposed to take care of your other half? Yeah. So this is something that I'm trying to
educate
the men in Malaysia. I mean, like, I have friends who are still using, like, body wash to wash their hair. Wash the hair already, then they wash the face.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what's that. I mean, like, I cannot.
I can understand, right? I cannot understand
one of this kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, like, not all the men in the industry know how to take care of their skin. Like, they only know, like, okay, put on makeup, then, like, you know, that's it. But then there are actually a lot of work in terms of, like, how to take care of your skin. Like, you need to understand your skin type, or even not just skin, like in general, like body odor, like how you smell, or even like after like workout, right? Do you put on deodorant? Not just for yourself, you know, for the people that you're gonna meet
around you also.
Yeah,
because you don't want you wouldn't want to chase people away.
Okay,
because we are all social animals. Like, sometimes we go out, like, meeting new people. And then, because someone cannot tell one if they have body odor. I mean, they don't know. They have been smelling it for decades already. They don't know one.
Their entire life since they were born.
They cannot tell one. So, this is something I'm trying to tell them. Like, okay, you know what? This is, I mean, like, I have this range of product. So, this, I mean, you don't have to know them too well. Just follow me. Step one, step two, step three. Simple step.
Okay, what kind of products under Goat you have right now? I know, like, there's a deodorant
and mouth spray. Yeah, our first product is the most interesting one. The one where you wipe on your penis, and after that, it helps you to last longer in bed.
Longer, like how long? Like 50 times longer?
Okay, so how long? It's very subjective. Right? It's super subjective because, like, for someone who used to last like 5 minutes, then maybe they can last 15 to 20 minutes. After the application. But for someone who can already last 20 minutes, then it can be longer.
1 hour.
40. I don't know. I mean, like, so what we tell people is like at least about 50% of your usual performance.
I'm pretty sure like you, when you first launched your first product, right, you give some samples to your friends around you or your family. So did they get back to you like what was the longest duration that they had?
Longest, 1 hour.
1 hour.
Yeah, around 1 hour.
So guys out there, if you want to have a longer session with your loved ones, try it out.
No, also like the main reason why we come out with all these products is also to build someone's confidence. Hence, I come out. I mean, like, it's not just about sex. Not everything is about sex. Because for a man who cannot even satisfy the other half, I feel like their confidence level confirm drop. So I come up with this kind of thing to at least to help them build their confidence.
Yeah. So not just about sex, it's also about like their appearances and how they smell and all that stuff. So are you planning to launch like men's skincare in the future?
Maybe you'll
launch skincare
Actually I love skincare.
Have you been experimenting like, you know, like different skincare?
Yeah.
Like different brands. Because for me, I have a whole cabinet full of skincare.
He has a lot.
I have a lot.
You know, like usually, like back then I have like a lot of PR packages. He's the first one who like
try.
Go and see. Hey, what's this, huh?
So you try all of them. I try
mostly all of them. But do you look at the ingredient though when you use the skincare?
Oh, when I first started, I didn't care. I just try any.
I also didn't care.
But nowadays,
I read like every single ingredient.
He used to have like really bad breakout, I think 2-3 years ago. And then that's how he got into the whole skincare thing.
Yeah, that's when I started doing like research and stuff like that. Because I was having a super, I think 2 years back, I was having a super bad breakout. And I didn't even want to go out, you know. Because when you're having breakout,
you don't have then when you talk to people,
they kind of like look at you. Then you're not sure whether they look at your face or they look at your eye. I mean, you're not sure. And that kind of feeling.
So you're very insecure.
Very insecure.
Yes, really insecure.
Then ever since then, I just like study all the skincare already.
For me, I started skincare very, very young. I think I started my first skincare when I was 16.
Oh, wow.
Because I've seen most of my friends, they have like, my seniors, they have like bad breakouts. You know, like when during our first puberty stage, right? A lot of men, especially, I was from boys' school. So after our first session is like the sukan session where we play football and stuff like that. After that, they straight go back to classes and change only, never shower, change only, and then the whole class is like smells of sweats. Okay, yeah. I was one of them. And then when I look at my seniors, they all have bad skin condition. So I told my parents I want to get a cleanser and also like a moisturizer. So I bring it to school. I use it after the session. Not my body, at least my face, because I don't have pimples, right? And it did work. So, but after I got into industry,
makeup.
So I don't know how to remove my makeup. I just use like normal cleanser to wash. Then all the acne started to come out. I got panic, Then after like 2 years, I told myself I have to reduce using makeup.
I don't know lah. Because I mean, I hang out with my friends and him and then my other guy friends. They do take care of their skin, like most of our friends. But there is also part of some men that still think like putting on skincare is a very
feminine
thing. I'm like,
it's self-care, what, right?
Yeah, it's self-care.
It's your body, like you have to
take care of. I think girls will be very impressed if a man know how to do the bare minimum, you know? I think men don't know that. Men thought like, oh, you, so it's like very like feminine. But actually, girls get impressed if the men actually take care of their skin. Yeah, actually know the steps. It's like, wow, when I heard like a guy know how to do skincare, I'm like, wow, this guy is like amazing. He knows his shit, you know?
So do you like love him more after if he know how to?
Yeah, of course. I mean, like, oh, now if someone can talk to me about skincare. So I ask him also, because I touch wood, I rarely get people's. And when I have, I will go ask him, hey, what should I put?
So he's that. Yeah. So I also have the same encounters where most of my female actresses' friend, some of the girls don't even know how to take care of their skin.
Really?
They have to come and ask me. Like the proper way of removing makeup.
Yeah.
Like their lashes, they don't know how to like make it go away, or like they have like really bad acne. Wow. What kind of sunscreen should they use?
Yeah.
So I have to recommend a few products that I've been using. So they go and try and say, yeah, it really works. And they've been telling people that I'm the skincare expertise.
Same also.
I'm glad that we can. We are glad that we can help people. But then again, like the men, it's really tough. Okay, what is the one product that you feel like every man should have for skin?
Sunscreen.
Yes, the same for me.
Yeah.
You know, I apply
sunscreen. I sell sunscreen, guys.
Chucks has their own sunscreen. It's the stick one or like the...
It's a liquid one. So it's a...
Because I see the bottle is like...
I know, it looks like a stick, right? It's not. So it's a chemical sunscreen.
A chemical sunscreen. Fluid,
yeah.
So I haven't tried yet, but I will. So I reapply my sunscreen every 2 hours.
I never do that. Because I'm always indoors. If you're outside, yes.
Yeah. So, but all my friends are like, why are you putting on sunscreen? But I put one time only.
Yeah. Okay, I think I have to advocate about sunscreen because a lot of people is really afraid of like skin aging.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you, sunscreen is the only thing where it's cheapest. It's the cheapest and it will like help you remain your skin. Because even though you do how many laser or anything, it's not going to help you if you don't put sunscreen.
Because UV is really, really toxic to your skin.
Yeah.
Like all the skin cancers, all the like, you know, aging, it comes from the sunlight.
Yeah.
Even though vitamin D is very good for your skin, like with your body also. But it also like make the lifespan of your skin like age faster.
Yeah.
So yeah, guys, girls and guys out there.
Put sunscreen.
Yeah, buy sunscreen. You guys can start from
I didn't buy this ad. But yeah, I mean.
Yeah. So like, what about Powerhouse? How did you ended up like co-founding Powerhouse?
Okay, so before Powerhouse, I was actually she started spinning first.
Okay,
and then so she was like, oh, you know, it's really fun. If you like music, you should join me. Then, okay, then I go. So I was in another studio. I was an instructor there.
Hmm.
So I taught, I think I taught there for 1 month plus. Then I was
1 month only, man?
1 month or 2 months, I think. 1 to 2 months.
Less than 3 months.
Less than 3 months.
Don't fight over this.
No, it was definitely less than 3 months.
Okay.
So I was like, oh, you know what? Because teaching a class, you probably earn less than 200 and something. Mm-hmm. So I was thinking, why don't you just do this yourself? Because if you have the
space and time.
I should do this myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I find my partners, another two of my partners. So just open Powerhouse. And then the other two of my partners, they were also pretty influential in the community.
Okay.
They were also spin instructor.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you guys have any other instructors other than the founders?
Yeah, I think we have
how many instructors
now?
20.
Yeah. So when you look at the team, right, it's really... So sometimes when we do like team meeting and stuff, it makes me really happy. It's like from scratch, we actually like we built this entire team.
Mm.
And then because we have 4 to 5 classes a day.
Mm.
Then because... it's like a closed door class because it's like a group class, like complete darkness. So every single time after the class, we will be standing by the door, then we open the door for them. Then we'll be like, oh, good job. Hi, bye. I mean, like, it makes me really happy every single time after my class when I manage to put a smile on people's face.
Yeah. So you managed to build a community that you never expected that this could happen, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So would you say, like, Jane is your muse? because of Jane, you started to get involved more in skincare.
Yeah, I think you can say that, yeah.
And also like Powerhouse has got her.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so sweet, guys.
Actually, my life is very simple. My life is just work, Jane, and then my dog.
So you work, dog, Jane,
My life is not super interesting, but I mean like, yeah. If I have something to post, I mean, if you look at my stories, right, it's always about Powerhouse Goat, then my dog, Jane.
You finally put Jane last. How could you? Okay, but that's how you guys like work perfectly for each other. So let's talk about Jane, your entrepreneurship. Like, you used
to have a lot of things.
Two cafes when you were like 23 years old.
When I was 22, I opened my first cafe with my best friend. Didn't work out.
Something happened with the best friend.
No. We are still very good friends. It's just that we are very young. Like, you know, when you are 22, it's just like, oh, I just want to have a cafe. I'm pretty sure those who are in like the similar age probably also still want to own a cafe.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, owning a cafe is really easy. But, you know, when it comes to operations side, like, nobody see it.
Yeah.
So I think we weren't really like the best person, best
ready for it, maybe
best partners to open a cafe. We have other partners also, mm-hmm. but like I say it's not the best combo lah. That's why we closed it down. But I mean, we are still good, very good friends, and we know like okay, we cannot do a business together.
Okay.
Yeah, it didn't stop us from being friends. And then I opened the second one was like a bao that sells like you know the Taiwanese gua bao.
Gua bao.
It's like
the U shaped one.
The bun. It's like a bun la bao la bao la.
The budo bun. The budo bun.
Yeah, you know the bun. Yeah, the bun. Then after that, it's more like a conceptual thing. And then I end up realizing like people don't take this as an actual meal.
Mm.
And I was opening right next to like the most famous nasi lemak in KL. So I'm like, okay, it didn't work. So we closed it down also.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, after that only I started Chucks.
Mm.
Chucks came after my whole F&B thingy.
Okay, yeah. So Chuck is founded back in 2016?
5 years really.
2019. I launched 2019, but I have the idea, I think, probably in 2017.
So it took you 2 years to prep the brand?
Kind of, because it was research. An idea. It was an idea, and then took one and a half year to actually have the product.
So when you first started Chucks, you do your research, find your manufacturing, like
yeah. So I have factories. A person. Yeah, I actually like did find it on myself, and I kind of realized that I'm not the best person to find this, and I wanted really good quality.
Mm-hmm.
And I know this person, my product manager right now.
Mm-hmm.
She was from another beauty brand.
Mm-hmm.
I know her through that, yeah. And then she kind of pulled some strings, and then she know people in the industry, and she intro me to like really good factories, and then yeah, and that's how it happened.
Because recently I've seen both of you go to Korea,
yeah,
for your own brands. Yeah. One is for Goat, one is for Chucks, right?
Yeah.
So nowadays all your products are manufacturing from.
Mine is fully from Korea.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fully from Korea.
So during COVID times, it's a bit hard. Mm. Thank God my product manager is in Korea, so okay. She does all the R&D and everything. Until the final step, kind of like she R&D until like, oh, she felt like this few formulation is good. Mm-hmm. Then she would send it over and then we try it again, test it. And if everything's okay, then we can produce it.
So your manager is living in Korea?
Yeah.
Even now?
Yeah. Mm. Product manager. She's a Korean. So she can speak Korea.
Okay. I thought like you've hired somebody from here and moved them to
Korea. No. She's from Korea. But she used to live in KL. So she kind of know
how it works
or so. Yeah, she used to live.
They were also friends. They were close friends.
Yeah. So she used to live in KL for like 10 years.
10 years? What?
So she kind of know like what's the weather like, the humidity. That's why how our formulation works. Came out right. Mm. It's because she know how the weather is. It's not like I just find someone from Korea, you know, get like something there. Yeah.
Okay. So, and also you also have Mother Chuckers.
Yeah.
So like
so
how
my Chuckers came by while I was doing Chucks because you know like I think I said it multiple times maybe I don't know if it's an interesting
you can
story.
Say it again because yeah, like our channel
it's
is
a, yeah a different audience right so when I started Chucks I know that like you know skincare we only have like one or two products every year and I want to make the brand more interesting I'm more like a creative person so Mother Chuckers came in as a merchandise brand for Chucks. So during the break, at least we have something to talk about where like we come out with interesting products like clothing, sweaters. Actually, we came out with t-shirt first and then it went well and then COVID happens. Then everyone was like going to grocery, right? So we came out with like this super huge
tote bag
where people can buy their groceries. That's our second drop. And it went super well.
Yeah.
So it was supposed to be like a merch brand for Chucks.
Okay.
And slowly it became a standalone brand right now.
Mm.
So we used to have a team to run both brands.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're kind of like slowly separating it because the workload is more now.
So the brand is expanding really well.
Yeah.
That you didn't really expect it would escalate so fast.
Yeah.
Okay. So now like you guys, like you also recently just launched your first retail for Chucks. And also, there was a fire, I heard. A day before
thank
your launch.
God, like, it was... I think, actually, the fire day was supposed to be our, like, KOL preview.
Preview, like, private event.
Yeah, we have to cancel it.
But was it, like, really like bad? Like, does it affecting your launch on the next day?
No, it kind of affects. I think people still
like very scared, not sure to go
if they want to go to like gardens, but people still come.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny how, cause I remember during that day, I was at the store. I went to makan at Mid Valley. Then I came back, and then we see like, hey, why suddenly blackout? We thought like power trip lah. Mm-hmm. You know, cause I don't know what's happening. And only my store and the store beside me was bright. So I'm like, wow, only both of us never gonna. Then after that, I was like, wow, we're damn lucky, right? Then suddenly, then fire alarm went off. Then only we know that, oh, okay, there's a fire in Mid Valley.
Mm,
yeah, and then kind of like disrupt the whole electricity. Then
so when you first heard of the fire alarm goes off, like what was your first worry, your first feeling?
I straight away grabbed the iPads, whatever that's expensive. I just put it in a basket. I just went down and see what. Apparently, like, everyone was quite chill.
Oh.
Extremely chill, which is quite concerning.
Yeah, very concerning. Like, very concerning. Like, suddenly the fire
the fire is somewhere not that near, like, you know, but it's somewhere like around.
Okay.
If something explodes, we're probably gonna, but also I don't think it will explode. But everyone's quite chill. Everyone's like going to a cafe to have a coffee.
Hmm.
When we are going down, then I think we met into like some other store managers or something. Oh, they were like, where are you going? Oh, we're going to go somewhere there to get coffee. I'm like, there's a fire there. Are you sure you're going to get coffee?
It's just like, maybe they thought it was a rehearsal.
It's just Malaysian, is it? It's like...
Damn chill, huh?
Because my Korean partner manager, she was there. Uh-huh. Then she was like, if this is in Korea, everyone starts screaming and running already.
Yeah.
But Malaysia is literally, everyone just like...
Very
so
cool.
Chill.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they thought it was a drill.
Yeah, maybe. It could be like something really minor that they don't really care.
I was quite chill at first. Then until I see the fire, I'm like, okay, this is not... It's quite a big one. Yeah, what if like it burn
up
some like cars or something, and then something explode?
Ooh, maybe gonna, scary.
Yeah.
So when you heard about the fire,
I texted her. I was like, oh, you know.
I texted you though.
Oh, you texted me.
Fight.
I texted him, hey, oh, fire. Oh, luckily you're in gardens, not in Valley, must be okay.
She's also one of the chill person.
Yeah, he's so chill. He didn't even text me. I was like, there's a fire. I was like, oh yeah, there's a fire.
What if he replied, are other products okay? Okay, then he never asked about you.
No, he didn't even ask about anything.
She will survive.
So much confidence in you, you know, he has towards you. Okay.
It was okay lah. I just said, okay, if this thing is gonna burn down my whole retail store, I'm not gonna open any retail store anymore.
Got insurance one lah.
Yeah lah, but then like so you bad luck, right? You have to open and burn already. You know that it's not the best sign lah.
Yeah. So like Chucks, the retail only has skincare at the moment.
Only has skincare. We have some little merch.
Little merch. So Chucks. Like in the future, are you planning to like put Mother Chuckers in? No. Mother Chuckers is only solely online.
Because Mother Chuckers is really hard. The space is not the biggest space.
Mm.
And clothing, we need people to try fitting and everything.
Fitting room, mirrors.
There's
and
a lot. Like, I think work. I need a new whole new shop for that. But
what's your vision for the brands that you have right now? Because as I'm hearing like you talk about the brands, right, I can picture you owning like a building itself. That's like one floor, it's like cafe.
Yeah, that's kind of like...
Second floor is like, you know, Chucks, and then like Mother Chucker on the top, things like that. Because this is kind of thing very happening in Korea or even like China. They have like these like fashion buildings where you can own like several. Like the ground floor is just like cafes.
Yeah.
You also own like hijau, right?
Yeah. Mm.
So hijau on the bottom, second floor is like maybe like the clothing Mother Chuckers, and then top floor is Chucks.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, that's a big dream.
You want investor shareholders? I can just
the upstairs powerhouse. Then I don't need to go anywhere already. I just stay in the building.
It's a top floor powerhouse.
The top floor, my penthouse, I'll just sleep there.
Or even like basement.
I don't need to go out.
Okay, ma. And then you move your petrol station like nearby.
Don't need just to go out.
Walking distance.
Just be there.
That would be a dream come true.
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
I never know.
Another thing that I want to ask both of you, right? Because to be honest, I also tried quite a few businesses, but all failed. My very first business tryout is actually a car wash shop.
Oh my god, he does car wash.
I did a car wash business
before.
But it failed. Yeah.
But because you can link it to a petrol station, ma, it's easier. Mine's
but
like
it's
a,
also
like
a
Also fail.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about it later. So my first one was when I was 24 years old.
Mm.
So I have a little bit of savings. So I bought over other people's car wash. So you know what happened, you know? Because I didn't sign any like contract. I was damn naive.
Oh, no.
So they were agreed like selling the business to me. Like they say, like together with the workers and the system and everything. So I can just take over and the next day can continue running. So I was named like me and then another business partner. We were both like very, very young. And then after we got a key, right, the next day, all the workers gone, you know.
So you are the one washing?
Yeah, I have to do the washing the next day. Then I keep asking all my friends, do you guys have anyone that owns a car wash business? So my friend introduced me to some of his friends that finally found someone that owns a car wash business in Kepong. I myself have to go there and learn how to like do the polishing and washing. And then I have to go to Selayang and get all the workers and then send them to Kepong for training. And every day I have to sit in the car wash shop, knowing nothing, you know.
Wow.
When customer come in, I have to sell, you know, I have to sell like how like three layers polishing, what kind of product we are using, need to like get supplier. I literally have zero knowledge. Because initially the so-called the head of the workers can help to run the whole thing, right?
So you got scammed.
I got scammed. And then 2 months later found out they opened a shop two blocks down the road. I can't do anything because I don't have any blank white mark. I can't sue them.
Oh damn.
So but that business went on for 2 years, but I cannot really.
Went on for 2 years.
I cannot tahan really. Because it's barely surviving. And some of the workers, it's very hard to control because they stay upstairs, in the shop lot, the second floor. It's very hard to control. Like I'll receive phone calls from the police saying your workers got caught doing drugs and whatever. I'm like, I have to bail them out. First one was time I bail. Second time it's like whatever lah. You wanna die, go die lah. I cannot help you anymore.
Yeah.
I already told you don't do this. Especially when you're living in my building. So 2 years, close it down. And then the second business is owning we sell cats. Because my friend...
You sell cats?
My friend, one of my friends like...
You're a breeder lah.
Not a breeder.
You just sell.
We import and then we sell them.
So
the target audience, because my friend dad is a dato.
I did not expect this from you.
I also didn't expect. No.
I'm actually
against, importing and exporting. So the dato is my friend lah. So it's like my friend's father.
Mm.
So I always go to their house. Father's like, I don't know how to do with all these cats. We already imported them in, but we don't know how to do it. Then they don't trust the agent. So they asked if I can help them to
sell the cats.
Manage. No, I didn't sell. So my friend, his son has to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm more in finding a place, placing all the cats, like making sure they are properly taken care of. Like, for example, their vaccination, how many times do they shower, someone have to, feed them and clean their stuff and let them out 2 hours in a day from the cage. Because I don't like to cage the cats or any animals, for instance. So I have to make sure, we found a bungalow in section 17. So just put the cats in and the workers living there, cleaning and stuff. And then turns out, the Dato-san also cannot really sell, so we have to get an agent for us to sell. So it's mostly targeting all this higher end family who can afford a pure breed cats. So at the end we managed to sell half of them. Then I told them I cannot, if you want to continue this business you have to find someone else to
do it,
take over, because I don't believe in importing cats and then sell it. Imagine if the cats are not being able to sell.
Yeah, what do they do with them?
They have to give away or adopt or someone have to take it in. You know that the Dato house has more than 40 cats already. Because they adopt.
Wow.
Because they adopt. Meaning stray cats, they also take it in.
Oh, okay. He's a cat lover.
He's a cat lover. But then I say if you're a cat lover, then why do you want to do this business? So halfway through, I say I cannot do this anymore. They have to find it. So eventually they close it down and give all the cats to the friends and family.
Oh, okay.
But I didn't put any money on this.
Okay.
I was just like managing. Yeah. And the third one is hot pot. I opened like
I didn't know you opened a hot pot.
A year before COVID.
Oh, okay.
A year before COVID. And then it was like going really well. Okay, I have to say this, that I've tried so many hot pot in KL. I still find that my place is the best.
Where is your place?
It's just close down already. SS2. In SS2. And because we didn't put any like Ajinomoto or whatever inside the...
What's it called?
Chuan Chuan Xiang.
Yeah. I think I heard before.
So it's over... We have two floors. We are almost like 70% full almost every other day. And then COVID hit. Because we spent a lot of money on... Because it's a...
Very Chinese.
It's a... we license it from China. So we have to pay like a lump sum money. So we spend quite a lot of money. So the first year, we didn't even manage to recoup. Then COVID hits. And then the rental. And then the workers. And then, you know, like hotpot cannot do delivery, right? It's very tough. We tried like selling like Odin and all that. It's very hard to maintain. So we have to close it down. But I really miss that place. It's really nice.
We love hotpot.
I also love hotpot.
We love hotpot so much. But I didn't know like you have a hotpot place.
But then again, like most of my business are such a failure. So my questions to you guys is like, how do you manage? For example, like finding the right team and the right person is very important.
Yeah.
Like how do you know like if that person fits the role? And when do you know that person needs to go? And how do you tell them you have to go?
I think for me at the moment, I don't really have anyone that has to go yet.
Okay.
I don't really, like, if they want to go, then they go lah. For me, like, if you don't feel like you want to be part of, like, you can't take in more job or things that it doesn't fulfill you anymore, then I'm more than happy to let you go.
But what if, like, they don't want to go? Like, for example, like, if I'm your staff, you give me an assignment, like, a task, like, I cannot deliver. Although I've been on your nose for the longest time. For example, you give me a deadline, but I still like, don't care, give you excuses.
Warning letter,
but I haven't tried this yet. I haven't.
Oh, you haven't got this experience. Yeah. Very lucky leh.
Maybe, because you cannot fire anybody. You cannot simply fire people.
Yeah, you cannot simply fire people. Yeah. You get sued.
Okay.
Yeah, so you can only give like warning letters.
So no one left in your team yet?
For Chuck, no, but then
Hijau, they are mostly freelance, more like part-timers.
Yeah.
But how do you hire people though?
So usually I have like another partner, Mandy. So she does creative writing. I rarely hire people. So what I do is like, let's say I let Mandy deal. Okay, let's say what do we lack of? Okay, let's say we are lack of a marketing person. You go and hire this marketing person. She'll always see like if this person is the right fit. That does thing that we cannot do. So now when we hire someone, we hope that this person can do things that we can't do and learn from them maybe. And then let's say this marketing person, she needs someone else. Like she need
go hire.
She has too much on her plate. She wants to hire someone. Then we let her be the one take in charge of hiring that person that is right for her.
Okay.
Because I won't be in charge of hiring that person for her because I don't know how is her workflow like. And I don't know what person fit her role. Yeah.
But the thing is, like, there's so many people, like, looking for jobs and stuff like that. You guys just, like, go on LinkedIn to find or, like, get a headhunter. Or, like, post on social media.
Actually, send your resume. I think how Mandy had someone is through Instagram. She actually got stalked Instagram.
Like how? Like you just like marketing exec, like, hashtag marketing exec.
No, you kind of know that this person is working somewhere.
That's
like freelance job. Somewhere and you kind of like knock on their doors and see if they want to take in more jobs or if they want to do something together. We always do trial first.
Like probation.
Not really probation. We give them tasks.
Mm-hmm.
It's paid job, paid projects. And then if we feel like the vibe is right, then only we come in, okay, this is an offer letter. That see if you want to work together. Yeah.
So how many employees do you have now? Roughly.
15. I think 15.
Kind of like roughly. Kind of,
about 15. Yeah. Or more, because if you add on like the store.
The store.
Maybe like 20 plus.
Yeah.
So what about code at this moment?
Code, we only have 6 at the moment.
I mean, like, you guys don't have retail, man. I think 6 is good enough. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So are you like in the future planning to open a retail also?
Or purely not at the moment, because we don't have enough SKU. Because you gotta need to have enough SKU in order to make it worth it. Because the operational cost is too high opening a retail.
You know, like some of the brands, when they first started, when they are small, they are willing to park under other brands. For example, like, you know, you could go under, like, I don't know, Sephora.
Yeah, that's
like,
why now we are in some of the pharmacies as well. For offline stuff.
Okay. Which is good enough, right? Okay. So I feel like we have almost come to the end of this podcast. Do you have anything to say to our audience? Like, you know, if they want to travel for work, or like how to live peacefully with your partner, like what's the trick?
I think the trick is relationship is not about winning each other. It's about how you want to move forward.
And compromise.
Yeah, and compromise. Because yeah, a lot of people, a lot of couples will like want to win an argument or who is the right one. Actually, it doesn't matter who is right or wrong. It's just that how you want this to move forward. Yeah, it's no point like
to dwell into it.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, do you guys ever fight?
No.
That was the biggest fight.
Never. We no hardly even quarrel. No fight on.
Even during dating stage.
No, you know what? We are so close. I mean, we know each other so well that we don't even need to talk.
Like,
she see my face, she didn't know what I'm thinking already. And then I see her, then I know you are hungry. Then I know already what.
Wait, can you demonstrate now? Okay, demonstrate now. What is she thinking now? Okay, go.
She's hungry.
Is it real? Is it real?
Okay, I'm quite hungry.
Wow. Okay, what is he thinking?
I think we can't know already.
Yeah, he's definitely hungry. Actually, I'll move very easy one. Just a few things only. But we rarely argue. Usually we just talk to each other.
What about at events when you guys, like, one of you feel like wanted to leave?
Like, oh, you guys just like... The eye is definitely the eye.
Try and demonstrate. Okay, so that was a key.
Now I'll be like, okay.
We all should learn.
Because I'm always a bad person. I don't know why. I have to be the bad person to, like, you know, okay, I have to go in. He won't be the one, like...
Maybe because he likes to party. If, like, the vibe is good, he wanted to stay. Right?
No, it's always, no, right? It's when
always
we leave
me
already,
that want to go home.
Yeah, always him want to go home. Uh-huh. And then the next day when people is like, oh, it's so fun. And he's like, why we go home so early one?
Huh? But you're the one that's going to go home.
You're the one that's going to go home.
Drunk already, ma.
Then I'm like, oh my God.
Okay. All right, then. Thank you so much for coming today. Thank you. For tuning in. So we'll see you guys on next episode. Don't forget to tune in to Are You Okay Podcast. We are releasing new episode every Wednesday, 9 p.m. on Spotify and YouTube. Bye.
Bye.